All right. So I don't even know if it made the bulletin. I know Julie probably didn't know who was preaching, and she texted me Friday night and said, "Hey, I hear you're preaching." Yes. So I entitled this one, Doubt. How many times does doubt creep into our lives and affect what we do? You know, the definition, well, first, you know what, this is God's message, it's not mine, so I'm going to pray here. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come before you, and we hope that you can take words that you've laid on my heart and turn my simple words into something that somebody needs to hear, Lord. And maybe somebody's going through doubt right now, and maybe somebody's having severe issue with doubt, and it's affecting their life, Lord. Just take these words and let them apply to their life and just make it better, Lord. We love you and we thank you. In your name we pray. Amen. So, Chris found out I was preaching, and it's kind of funny when Chris finds out I'm preaching. She said, "Do I have to go?" Yes, you have to go. She said, "Well, don't make this about Lindsay because nobody else wants to hear about the Air Force." I said, "Okay, fair enough." But here's what I will tell you. 2 weeks ago, we were in Texas, and it was the most expensive church service I've ever been to. Because Chris and I had bought tickets to leave at 7 o'clock in the morning from Texas. The next day, we get a letter from Lindsay. "I can't wait for you guys to come to church with me on Sunday." So guess who was calling the airlines? Had to buy two more tickets because Chris and I stayed for church. And I'm glad we did. There's not a price you can put on it. Here, I'll just give you a little snippet of how this goes. Chris and I dropped everybody off at 7:30 at the airport, or actually it was 6:30. And we had already checked out of the hotel. So we came back and we said, "What are we going to do?" So we went to the base. We went to breakfast. And then we went to the base about 8 o'clock. Church wasn't until 9. Lindsay didn't get released to go to church till about 9. So we went and parked. They have a bowling alley, so we went and parked in the bowling alley. So about 8:15 or 8:20, my Diet Mountain Dew had already kicked in. I needed to find a restroom. So we drove across base, and the neat thing was all these kids in ABUs, which is the Air Force fatigues, are standing outside this church. Now, this is 45 minutes before the doors open. I don't know. I'm guessing there was about 600 of them waiting in line to get in church. If we don't open the doors till 9:45, what time are you showing up here? About 9:45, right? Blacks will be here at 5 after 10. I'm just picking. But these kids were waiting in line because Sunday is the best day of the week for them. And I'll use the word. I doubt that we, as Christians, are applying ourselves as fully as we should. So as the church service started, and I did some quick math just because I'm crazy. There was 25 rows. You see, there's about 22 a row, and then there was wings off of it. So I estimated there was about 1,200 people there. Now, the airmen, the graduating airmen, sat in the back. They were kind of secluded because your families were with you. And then in front, there was just a sea of fatigues. About 800 is what I gathered. And let me tell you, these kids were there to worship and praise God. It wasn't about, "I'm worried about what so-and-so says," or, "Man, I had a rough week. I can't worship God." They were worshiping God. It was neat to see. So that brings me into the chaplain, and I couldn't tell you what. It's a Christian branch of, there's a bunch of different churches. She went to one that said Christian, that's all she needed to know, and I'm good with that. The chaplain that was in charge had been, this was his first Sunday preaching, And he had been there 4 weeks. And his name was Losser. But it was spelled L-O-S-E-R. Loser. Okay? Just so happens, his rank was major. So his wife calls him Major Loser. Okay? And he did a fine job, but if that doesn't create doubt when your own wife is saying, hey, you're Major Loser, what does? So when he got to his title, and I'm not using his, I'm using his passages, but the words, I can't remember yesterday, let alone 2 weeks ago words. But the one thing he said is doubt a sin? Doubt itself may not be a sin. But what doubt leads to becomes the sin. And that kind of struck me. But I'll give you a definition of doubt. To waver in opinion or judgment, to be in uncertainty as to your belief, to be undetermined. Suspicion. These are all synonyms. Suspicion, fear, apprehension, dread. And as you think about doubt, we all have some of that in our lives. You know, have you ever heard the term, I doubt I can do that? Or I doubt if we do that? I like the term, I doubt if I can do that, because that leaves a chance for God. I can doubt it, but yet I say I can in the same sentence. It's not I, it's God. So for the first passage we're going to use today, we're going to flip around a little bit. We're going to go to Hebrews 12. And, you know, his whole passage, or his whole message, kind of centered around this. I'm going to read this, and we're going to talk about it a little bit, but I want to use another passage as the core here. And in verse 1 it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. You know, and I've probably read that a few times in my lifetime, but I've never really broke it down. So we're going to break it down. Therefore, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, what's that mean? Everybody sees everything we as Christians do. Everything. And that's, you know, those of you who have teenagers, have kids, how many times have you said, everybody sees what you did today on Instagram or Snapchat, or I don't even know what all they are. I know Instagram because that's what I have to follow my girls. But everybody is watching what we as Christians do. Okay, so then it gives instructions. So let us throw off everything that hinders in the sin that so easily entangles. Anybody have something that's dragging them down? It doesn't say keep that on your back and try to prod through. It says throw it off. So as I'm envisioning that, again, I've said before, I'm a people study person. So I actually envision, when I'm reading that, some guy like David, for example, taking this bear and just throwing him off because that bear is going to hinder what he's doing. That's what doubt does. It hinders how effective we can be. So take that doubt and throw it. Because if you don't, the sin will so easily entangle you. And that's paraphrased. Here's the next part, and I don't like this next part. and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Again, we've talked before, and I'm the double quarter pounder of cheese Diet Coke guy, right? I don't want to run a race unless it's a really short one. Okay? But God has put us in situations to grow us. You know, he's not going to give Matt a 5-foot race, because I could probably run a 5-foot race. Okay? Say, Matt, you're in for the long haul. I want you to run this race with me as hard as you can run it. You know, it doesn't say I want you to be perfect. I don't want you to be out of breath. God knows we're going to fail. But he wants us to run the race. Anybody like the word perseverance? Matt's laughing. I don't like perseverance because that means I got to struggle with something. And I got to persevere and I got to fight through it. I'll get my plug. Last time I was up, Northmore was 3-0 in football, I think. No, 4-0. They're 5-1 now. And not only football, volleyball is 13-2. Junior high volleyball, what's your record, Lex? You've won more than you've lost, right? Okay. Junior high football's won more than they've lost. JV football's won more than they've lost. So these kids are all persevering through these battles. And it's neat to see when we get the reward, when we've actually worked for it. And we've persevered and we've overcome. Guys, I'm telling you, when we get to heaven, that reward we're going to see and we're going to get is going to be so much greater than anything here. You know, Northmore football can go 9-1, and it'll probably be, you know, it won't probably be, it will be the greatest season ever to Northmore football. Probably if they go 8-2, it'll be the greatest season ever to Northmore football. So when they get done, after they've persevered, they'll have a pretty good celebration. Nothing compared to what we're going to have when God comes back. Amen. Now here's the key part of this. We want to run the race through perseverance, run the race that marked out for us. Fixing our eyes on Jesus. You know, it's funny how I talk about Northmore athletics and then the next section is fixing our eyes on Jesus. Because sometimes we take our eyes off of what's really important. And doubt will do that. How many times have you been in a situation and you know what you should do because you've prayed about it. You feel like God's giving you a pretty clear answer. And then Satan starts creeping in on this side and says, hey, are you really sure that's what God said? Because I don't think you're good enough that God's going to talk to you like that. I've been there. I'm there a lot. Doubt creeps in. Fix your eyes on Jesus. What's that mean? That means we study. We're in the Bible. We pray. We have that relationship with God. Because if we don't... Hey, Braden's still in here. Braden, do you guys practice through the week? Right? 2 hours a night? 2.5 hours a night? Okay? So, the football team practices to be good on Friday night. As Christians, do we practice to be good? Or do we just think, God's in charge? Go handle it. God wants us to arm ourselves with his knowledge. And there's only one way we're going to get that. Okay? We got to be in our Bibles. We got to be in prayer with God. We got to have a relationship with God. It says, fix your eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. So before Jesus, there was no faith. Pioneer, it means he forged ahead and he showed us what faith is. Think it took some faith on Jesus' part come down on earth, take a group of guys that were not very special, and go out and preach to the world. It took a lot of faith. I suppose it took a lot of faith for Jesus not to pick up a sword when they came to get him. It took a lot of faith. Some of the disciples didn't have that much. But do you suppose it took a lot of faith to be nailed to a cross and to suffocate and to die as a criminal? God, Jesus had to believe in the plan, and he had to have faith in the plan. How much faith do we have? Because, man, that doubt creeps in. When I start feeling things bad, that doubt creeps in, and I think, I got another way out of this. Okay? Stick with God's plan. He's the perfecter and pioneer of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. Jesus knew the joy he was about to get. And guess what? I don't think Jesus was thinking about his personal joy. I think he was thinking about Matt McGlott, Patsy Winger, Dwayne Leonard, Matt Wiseman was hanging on that cross. And he was joyful. It's pretty intense. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. What happens the first time we get tired? What happens? Anybody? When we get tired, what happens? We rely on our what? Training to get us through. Again, this is a plug for Bible. Because if we don't have this, what are we going to rely on when we get tired? Okay, let's go to Matthew 14. And again, my Bible has these little things called at issue. And we're going to talk about Peter and when Jesus walked on the water. We're going to talk about Peter. Now this is the guy Jesus built the church on. Okay? So, shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid." "Lord, if it is you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you out on the water." So some people think that's a doubt, but I think that's Peter saying, "God, I think it is you. Let's show him. Let's show him what you can do." So, "Come," he says. Then Peter got out of the boat, walked onto the water, and came toward Jesus. But then when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." So, again, I'm a people learner. As I read this, I have a picture in my mind of Peter, or put yourself in that situation, jumping out of the boat and walking across the water. It'd be pretty cool. And I guess when the storms of life come, what happened to Peter? He started looking around and seeing all the outside influences, and he panicked. Knowing he was 5 feet from Jesus at that point. I don't know how far he was. But let's say he was 5 feet from Jesus, and he panicked. Do we do that? Every time we get close to God, what happens? Something comes up in our lives that makes us doubt our relationship with God. And maybe I'm just talking about myself. I don't think so, if we're all brutally honest. But So you know, he says, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus reaches out his hand, pulls him out of the water, and then kind of smacks him on the hand and says, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" You know, Peter, you just walked 10 feet on water out of the boat. But then you started looking around and you took your eyes off of me. Why? You were doing so well. Now, this is the guy that Jesus built a church on. Do you think if he had some doubts and he had some shortcomings that Jesus expects us to be perfect? No. We are going to doubt. We are going to have shortcomings. We are going to fail. But let's do it focusing on Jesus. Because 10 times out of 10, when we fail, what happens? We learn something. And we have a story to share. So in my Bible, again, it has these little boxes called "at issue," and it just talks about these verses. Some people miss the full dimension of the story of Jesus and Peter walking on the water. Peter often gets a bad rap. People point out to his moment of panic, shake their heads, and speak disapprovingly about his lack of faith. But they overlook a crucial fact. Peter got out of the boat. He could have stayed in the boat, and that storm would have passed. But he got out of the boat. As Christians, are we willing to get out of the boat? Or are we going to let doubt and fear and ridicule keep us in that boat? Get out of the boat. He left his own comfort and safety to venture into the unknown. He put himself into a vulnerable position in an effort to get closer to Jesus. He made a mistake in letting the danger of his situation rattle him. But because he dared to do something almost unthinkable, he experienced the Lord's grace in a way few others have. Are you ready to get out of the boat? And for each one of us, that boat might be different. In fact, it's probably different for all of us. But Jesus knows where our boat is. He's not going to let us fail. He's not going to let us sink. He may let us struggle so that we get our eyes back on him. Because it's like a circle. And I'll relate it to parenting. You know, at 5 years old, you're the center of your kids' eyes. I mean, everything they do depends on what you do, right? At 12 years old, they start thinking, man, my dad's maybe not so great. By 18, they think my dad's an idiot. Okay, but by 21, 22, some 25, they think, you know, my dad or my mom did an awful lot for me. Is there Christianity any different? When we first get baptized, we're fired up. Our first trial hits. And because we're a young Christian, we may fall away. But then we come back. And as we progress in our studies and in our maturity as a Christian, what happens? Eventually we think, I'm back focused on God all the time and I kind of like it. Right? And I will tell you that and we have a couple young military here, but if you ever think your kids are thinking you're an idiot all the time, send them to the military. They'll straighten them out. Because I'm telling you, when Lindsay grabbed a hold of Chris, there was nobody else in the world other than those two. And when she grabbed a hold of me, there was nobody in the world other than her and I. And it was pretty cool. She's matured a lot. She's changed a little, but that's to be expected. But our focus, where is your focus? Because if we're doubting, our focus isn't on God. Okay, let's move on to Mark And we're going to look at chapter 1. And it's 15, but I'm going to use 14 through 20 here. No, I'm going to use 14 through 17. Because here's Jesus announces the good news. After John was put in prison, Jesus went to Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news. So there's some instruction here from Jesus. He said, guys, it's coming. It's coming. Now, how many of us want that? Do we want to have that? Hey, I want Jesus to come back and tell me it's coming before he comes. Right? Here's Jesus telling these people, hey, it's coming. Repent and believe the good news. Guys, there's no doom and gloom when Jesus comes back. Well, there is some, but there's not going to be for us. That's my prayer, is there's not any for us as Christians. I hope that we've done everything we can and we have repented and we have turned our eyes back to Jesus. Because that's good news. But then I wanted to include this because I just want you to understand that Jesus is calling us. Jesus calls his first disciples. As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once they left their nets and followed him. Now, fishermen, I couldn't be a fisherman. I don't have the attention span for it, something. I'm an instant gratification type of guy, and sitting out for hours, and these guys didn't fish with poles like I would fish with, but sitting out for hours and not getting a bite, I get bored out of my mind. And besides that, the fish I catch are usually about this big. So it's not really worth the fish to me. But these guys were fishermen. That's what they did. And they had invested all of their wealth, or lack thereof. They had invested their money into these boats, into these nets. So they had their whole life, livelihood, sitting there. And he said, hey, come follow me. There was no doubt there. There was no doubt there. I will send you out to fish for people. At once they left their nets and followed him. So there was a couple new fishermen in Galilee at that point. Because I'm just guessing that if a fishing, like I related to the History Channel, there's a show called, what's it called, Chris? Wicked Tuna. Wicked Tuna, I like it because these guys are dumb. And they make me feel pretty smart. But so if Jesus came to one of these guys that's running one of these wicked tuna boats and said, come follow me, and it did, well, it wouldn't be very long. This boat would be docked. And somebody else is going to have to pick up the fishing because it was a way of life. So again, because I'm a people person, that's things that go through my mind. There were some new fishermen there. The important fishermen were the fisher of men that left. And I'm not even sure they even knew what that meant. Not sure they knew that meant they were going to suffer. They were going to, be known as the crazy church guys. Because they were. But they immediately left. If Jesus were to come to me today and say, Matt, leave your Coca-Cola sales route there and let's move to Cambodia, I'd be like, yeah, hang on, Jesus. You know, I mean, I don't know if I could do it. I pray that I could, but I know God knows that I don't have that kind of faith yet because he's never asked me that. So for me, it was, Matt, I want you to come and preach occasionally. And I said, I don't know if I can do that. So I had my doubts, but I didn't let my doubts become a sin. Because I said, okay, God, if that's what you're going to have to give me everything you want, because I'm simple. And I know we laugh about that, but ask my wife. I am simple. Okay, and then we're going to finish up in Proverbs. And once we've figured out that doubt leads to sin, and once we've figured out that we need to throw all our sins and throw our doubts and throw everything off, not just get rid of them, but we need to throw them, separate ourselves from them. Here's how we're going to cure doubt. Proverbs 3, and we're going to start in verse 5. And this is instruction to you and I. This is, you know, it's funny how things were written thousands of years ago. But man, if we would just follow what it says. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him, and He will make your paths straight. How do we cure doubt? We trust in the Lord with all of our heart. And here's the hardest part of that. Lean not on your own understanding. We have a bunch of educated people out here, right? Yes, we do. We have a bunch of people a lot smarter than me. When we start relying on our own brain, we fail. God wants us to rely on Him. Trust in Him. In all of your ways, submit to Him. So what's that mean? It means we don't do anything without talking to God about it first. So, have you ever bought a car and then about 6 months later think, why did I buy that car? Right? Or, you know, the money might get tight for payments or whatever. Did you pray about buying the car first? You know, did you ever, and you can substitute whatever you want here, but if you're struggling with something, ask, did I really talk to God about this? I bet you didn't. I know in my life that's the way it works. When I am stuck in a rut, it's because Matt decided he was doing his own thing. When I know that God's in it, do we still have little dips? Sure. But we don't get stuck. God's always there to pull us out. When I reach up and God's in it, God always pulls me out. No matter what. And that may be hard for some people to understand. But I'm telling you, when you have the relationship with Christ and you apply what God has given us to your life, He is not going to let you fail. He will let you grow. I tell my kids that occasionally, hey, you got to grow through this. They don't like it when they got to grow through stuff. I don't like it when I got to grow through stuff because that means I got to hurt. Or I gotta suffer. If Christianity was easy, would it be worth the reward? And it's hard for me to imagine a reward from time to time because I'm so stuck in this world. But as we read and we develop, we know what the ending is. And that's not hard to imagine. The hard to imagine part is that I may be separated from people that I know here on earth and see them suffering still while I'm reaping the reward. So my challenge is,
Put away your doubt. You know, God called us to go be fishers of men. Are we doing that in our lives today? Because there's a lot of nasty fish out there that need to be caught. You know, you look at what's going on with the world today, and you know, these, I won't get into it fully, but these protests and the president speaking about it, and just shut up and let God have it. It makes me crazy that we backstab and we backbite and we run our jaw before we think about what we're doing. So, in the words of Major Loser, if you are here today and you have that doubt in your life and you don't know what the final outcome is, or you need prayer, or you need guidance, you need somebody to listen, there are people surrounding you today that will do any of those things with you. As we close today, don't let doubt take over. Because when we doubt, we freeze. And when we freeze, we're not doing anything. Keep your eyes focused on Jesus. And keep moving forward. Even when times are tough, throw that junk off and focus on Jesus. So as we have the praise team come forward and we sing a song, and the invitation is always here, but it's here today. If you need prayer, if you're having doubt, if you're having problems, if you just need somebody to listen, Les, Jesse, and I will be here. And you don't have to come to one of us, but man, we like to pray for you all. And we like to see God at work. So if you have an issue, or you have something, or you have a praise, we like to hear those too. Please come forward. If you just need to use a kneeler and pray to God, that's fine too. You know the neat thing, 2 weeks ago, the neat thing, they were having a baptism, and I don't think I was invited, but it means that I want to go. At noon, they were having a baptism at the same church, and I thought that would have been pretty cool, but I thought, well, I better not, because I don't want to get arrested on my last day here. But these kids and these, there's probably 150 of them that went forward. Nobody talked to anybody. They went forward and gave their lives to God. You don't have to talk to anybody other than God. But we sure do like to know about it, because we sure do want to pray for you. Because when you do that relationship thing with God, guess what comes in? Doubt. And we want to equip you to be able to battle. Let's close up here. I'll pray and we'll sing a song. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come before you and we just thank you for taking simple words and hopefully reaching home with some folks, and just you know, just use us, Lord. Use us in every situation. Let us keep our eyes focused on you at all times and just continue to strive and move towards you and truly be fishers of men for you, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. Yeah. Thank you.
this week go and have a great week and understand that God is putting you in situations. And He wants to see where you're at. Let's take a stand for God in this community, in this world, and go make a difference. Have a great week. Thank you.
Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name.
I said, yeah, we can use him here and there.